Talk Radio 790 KABC. Welcome to the Frank Sontag Show, hour number two. And if you would like to participate, 800-222-KABC, 800-222-5222. Many of you have emailed me already at frank@kmgministries.com. Let us take this complete segment and take as many calls as we can. We have a full board. Every line is lit. So I'll try to get through as many calls as I can. And obviously, when a line is open, I will give out the number again. Whit in Agoura Hills has been on hold for, well, a few minutes. Whit, you're on the Frank Sontag Show on 790 KABC. Whit, thanks for calling.
Yeah, hi. I talked to you right before the holidays, and I was talking to you about Elon Musk and a whole lot of other things, mostly about what it was like to be a truther and stand up for the Constitution and how they would come for you. Mm-hmm. And during that call, they clipped the line, and I disappeared, and we never finished our conversation. I don't know if you remember that or not.
I need to be fair. I don't. I take a lot of calls, nothing personal. Yeah. I'm sure it was an important call. So if you want to talk about that or the issue that's on the screen, I made reference to the balloon, and what do we do about that?
I want to talk about that. That was my first I'm in total agreement with you. When I heard this news story and everybody's covering it, it's on every radio and TV program, this balloon, we look weak.
Yeah.
Why would we as Americans allow that thing to fly in our airspace? And I don't care if, we neutered that thing or we somehow shot it electronically so they can't monitor or can't film or can't whatever. These are a lot of things I've already heard. Oh, we've already taken care of it. It's useless. It can't do anything up there. Well, if that's true, then bring it down. Well, they would never, if we put a balloon like that over the airspace of China, they would blow it out of the sky within 5 minutes.
Oh, no hesitation. And
exactly.
Do you know that it's been reported earlier today that there's a second balloon, I guess, over Missouri or something?
It's South America.
Oh, South America. You're right. Latin America. You're right. Correct.
Yeah. Yeah, they've got another one just like it. And the bottom line on this one to me is, what if that thing has an EMG and is capable of knocking down our power grid?
Yeah.
Lord forbid if our power grid goes, I'm sure you're aware, we can't just jumpstart that. We blow all the transformers. We don't have a backlog. We can't fix it. And we would be in the dark for months, possibly years, right?
Whit, I appreciate your call. Thank you for it. I look forward to the next one. And the thing that boggles my mind, and if you didn't hear my comments earlier, I said if somehow I was the president, I would have shot that thing down the moment we found out about it. No hesitation. And I don't buy the Defense Department or the State Department, whoever said, well, what about, the fallout from it? If you've not been in the state of Montana, you can't tell me that you can't track that thing. There's hundreds and hundreds of open space there. You can't shoot it down over an area where there's nothing in terms of human beings. So I'm not buying that. And like Whit said, what if it's got, I think it's ELF, extra low frequency, where they can shoot a signal and knock stuff. I mean, it's amazing to me what we're seeing. And now one over Latin America. Maybe you have more comments. Whit, I appreciate your call. Thank you for it. We do have one line open now, 800-222-KABC. Let's talk in Palos Verdes with John. John, you're on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Thank you for calling, John.
Frank, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm terrific. I was just listening to what you were saying about electric cars, and it's costing more than gasoline. That's something I kind of already knew about. My wife and I have a Prius, and we've been running this thing all over the place. It's a bargain. We also have driven it across country because it does save on gas and is comfortable. And I can't imagine trying to go anywhere in an electric vehicle for any distance. It's just insane. I think we've got guys in Oregon and Seattle area They've got tons of water. They don't know what to do with it. And instead of having a bullet chain train going between two farming communities, we should have a pipeline that comes down from Oregon and just drop it right into the, you know, the Colorado River. We'll get that reservoir filled up so that the Hoover Dam can go back active and generate power. Then we can go ahead and have regular, you know, charging of our vehicles without having to have brownouts or any of these warnings being given to us about, you know, don't use your electricity between these hours or reduce your consumption. We can get right past that. We get back to hydroelectric power. It's clean. It's green. And, you know, I'm sure we can get a lot of benefits from that.
John, has anybody ever called you a dangerous man?
Yeah, well, it's because I support the Second Amendment.
Okay, I was going to say, you're a dangerous man because you can think for yourself, you're intelligent, you're a problem solver, and the last place you should end up is in politics because they are all about them. They're not about we the people. And when it comes to the state of California, whether we're talking about the power grid and all the push for EV vehicles or whether we're talking about the drought, I mean, 82 trillion gallons of water just go out to sea. We haven't built a storage unit in 44 years. I think just anybody with a modicum of intelligence would go, that's a little strange.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
John, thank you for the call. Go ahead.
I'm a red pill, by the way.
Oh, you are a red pill. All right, we'll get into that next break. For those of you listening that don't know the analogy, the red or blue pill, we'll set it up next segment. John, thank you. One of my favorite callers is Brent in Los Angeles. Brent, you're on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Hello, Frank. How are you?
Brent, I'm well. How are you?
Great. You know, unfortunately, I have always had a hardcore addiction for red pills. And and as a result, I've lost many friends and family, and it seems to only be continuing. Mm. Also, I have a bunch of thoughts. One is the balloon. It is simply Xi's way of humiliating, disgracing, and displaying to the world that Biden is his battered and bought woman. And men without morals are not men. They are predator primates. And we hear of these men who are identifying as women. They do not identify as women. They're identifying with trans Satanism, trans sadism, and trans sociopathy. And as for wicked woke women, they hysterically hate women, and they are female Marxist misogynists. And just lastly, concerning California's water, I say, screw the smelt.
Brent, I'm grateful for you. Thank you for sharing.
And I for you.
I look forward to next week.
Thank you.
Yeah, the smelt, radical environmentalists said they're more important than human beings here in California. That's why there's no collective will in Sacramento to save any of this water. We got to protect the smelt. I read a story earlier about Riley Gaines. She's a college athlete. She testified on Capitol Hill about what it's like to live in the world of wokeness in the NCAA, where biological men are not only competing in women's athletics, they're in locker rooms. Melinda in Rancho Cucamonga has a comment about that. Melinda, you're on Talk Radio 790 KABC on the Frank Sontag Show. Hello, Melinda.
Hi. Well, you seem to think that enough that it would change for these women or if enough people stood up for them. And I'm saying, mark my words, there won't be enough people standing up for them. This problem is going to continue to get worse. And I just don't think they'll be heard.
But why would you say that? Give me some level of understanding. And obviously, we're just stating our views or our opinions. But why would you say there's no way that this will stop?
Well, I can't go into what I know.
Okay.
But through my experience and the experience of everyone who's going through the same thing I am. People, the leadership is not listening.
Melinda, I thank you for the call, and let me kind of espouse a little bit more about what you shared. The NCAA has definitely gone woke. Professional sports has gone woke. So I get that there are people in the institution that have a vested interest in still pushing these issues. But I still think we the people outnumber them in astronomical amounts. And if people wake up, if this is part of the new awakening in our country, I'm not so sure that we don't stand a chance. I mean, just let me give you an example. If I had a daughter that was a college athlete, and say she ran track at whatever, and there was a guy in the league that identified as a woman, or even on her team, I would raise hell. I would make myself a thorn in the side of the administration. I would let the NCAA know. I would talk about protesting. Look, we live in a day and age of social media and the power in technology. And at the very least, why not fight? Worst case scenario, nothing happens or it gets worse, but where's the fight in people? You know, the Bible says, no greater love hath he than a friend that would lay his life down for another. Now, I'm not talking about life and death here, but I think there's something very powerful in Scripture, this idea of sacrificing your life for others. Jesus was asked the greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. He said the second greatest commandment was loving the Lord as yourself, right? Love your neighbor as yourself. That kind of love is not human love. That kind of love is the most powerful force in the world. And where are those that understand that type of love? Or we say no more. That if you will, a college athlete, a woman that is not your biological daughter, is still your daughter, especially as a man. But we live, and I get the caller's view on this. It seems as if we have given up, that we're basically submissive and belly up. I get all that. I'm in men's ministry. A lot of men have walked away from being a father. Fatherlessness is embraced as normal in culture. And I say no, no more. We're raising up a whole generation of men that say no more. 800-222-5222. We have a line open, 800-222-KABC. The red pill or the blue pill? Would you take the red pill, which would restart your life at the age of 6 with all the knowledge you have in your life right now? Or would you take the blue pill and just cash out for $10 million? We'll talk about that and much more as we continue next on this, the Frank Sontag Show, Talk Radio 790 KABC. Thank you for joining us on this, the Frank Sontag Show, Talk Radio 790 KABC. Do you all know who Jordan Peterson is? I apologize to the woman caller. I don't remember her name. I usually try to remember that. So, again, my apology. But hers was a very important phone call. She called in to talk about the state of wokeness. And I made reference to a woman named, I think her name is Riley Gaines. She's an athlete. And she was talking about the tragedy of men identifying as women, not only playing in and participating in women's athletics, but the whole locker room scene, which is kind of like in the back 40. We've watched this advance and accelerate at such a pace it's hard to even comprehend. And the woman caller was saying, and I don't want to speak for her, she's not here, but basically there's no hope. No shot here. And my position is, maybe true, but why not put up a heck of a fight? So Jordan Peterson is a man that has always been a fighter. He's a brilliant mind. He's a Canadian psychologist. And he recently talked about the World Economic Forum, you know, the globalists, and how he has a plan for an alternative to the World Economic Forum. He was on Joe Rogan's Experience. He was talking about the idea of, in October, November in London, having a consortium of people to kind of counteract the globalists. It would be an invite-only public and invite a lot of brilliant minds and trying to push back on or take ground back by which so much has been given up freely by us, because we say, you know, what can I do? It's too late. There's no hope. I'm one person. We're going to play an audio clip in a moment, but here's a little bit of Jordan Peterson. Let me read some quotes. He said that, for instance, the transgender issue, he says it's a contagion that's damaging children and likened it to the satanic ritual abuse claims that arose in daycare centers nearly 40 years ago. He also took a shot at the globalist group, the World Economic Forum. Quote, I've been trying to understand the driving ideas underneath this globalist utopian tyranny that seems to be developing from the top down, and I think it's driven at least in part by this religious vision that I already described. You know, that you have to construe culture itself, especially industrial culture, as the tyrannical father raping and pillaging everything in its way, which is an unbelievably dangerous way to think, way too one-sided. And he also said, basically, to the globalists, leave us alone. Listen to Jordan Peterson. Check this out.
Not advance without resistance through the straits of your enforced privation. We will not allow you to steal and destroy the energy that makes our lives bearable and that produces our food and shelter and housing and the sporadic delights of modern life just to address your existential terror, particularly when it will fail to do so in any case. We will not allow our children to be criticized first for having the temerity to merely exist and then deprived of the prosperous and opportunity-rich future we strived so hard to prepare for them. We remain unconvinced that your frightened and self-congratulatory moralizing and intellectual pretension, ignorance of the limits of statistics, and misuse of arithmetic. We do not believe, finally, and most absolutely, that your declared emergency and the panic you sow because of it means that you should now be ceded all necessary authority. So, leave us alone, you centralizers of power, you worshippers of Gaia, you sacrificers of the wealth and property of others, you would-be planetary saviors, you Machiavellian pretenders and virtue signalers, objecting to power, all the while you gathered around you madly. Leave us alone.
Jordan Peterson. We will not allow it. Now, say what you will about Jordan Peterson, if you have been tracking him, or if maybe that's the first time you heard that audio cut. This is a man that knows truth. And in case you haven't noticed, we live in a time by which lies are called truth and truth are called lies. I mean, this is straight out of Isaiah in the Bible. Good is called bad. Bad is called good. And it may be in a logical sense, most of us say it's hopeless. It's only going to get worse. I think that makes sense. But when you hear somebody like Jordan Peterson, he's just one man saying, we will not allow it. And spitting intellectual bullets like that, I stand up a little bit. My spine goes straight, and I'm like, man, That's what I want to hear. There's something intrinsically deep inside all of us in a seminal level when we want to be purveyors of the truth. You know, again, this is KBC is not a Christian radio station. I get there's some of you listening. You're not Christians. I am. I'm a follower of Christ. I believe the Bible is inerrant. In fact, if you ever read the Bible, you'd be shocked how many things in culture, expressions we say that are in the Bible thousands of years ago. But here's the thing. Romans 1 says God has written his law on all of our hearts. And what that means is we all know intrinsically what is good, what is bad, what is right and wrong. Because God made us in his image. Now, you may go, I'm not buying it. You don't have to buy it. I'm not selling anything other than I believe this book I have right here in my hand. This is truth. And we all know it. So when someone speaks the truth, like Jordan Peterson, man, there's something deep down inside that stirs in the souls and the hearts of human beings. We are spiritually dead as a culture. And yet, it's not that we suffer from a permanent malady. Because we are created in the image of God, we can be resurrected any moment with new life and new breath and new purpose and an understanding that God has a plan and a purpose for your life. The struggle is we are so much about ourselves. God's not going to infringe on your free will. It's scary to surrender. I get all of that. There is religious abuse. I can't tell you how many men I've talked to that say, I don't want to have anything to do with church because I had a bad church experience. I get it. But here's the deal. Church isn't necessarily a building. And this is a battle for the hearts and souls of men and women. And I praise God for men like Jordan Peterson. I don't even know if the dude's saved, but he knows truth. And again, I'll end as I began. Why not fight anyway? If you don't know what to fight for, man, just look around. It seems like evil has advanced everywhere. So again, I get the callers saying, man, it just seems so hopeless. I get it. Things have changed drastically in the last 2 years. Like this logarithmic escalation of evil. It doesn't even hide itself anymore. But God made you with a plan and a purpose. And what a time to be alive, like right now. And you don't have to do anything high profile. You don't have to do anything magnificently. You don't have to be an influencer on social media. Maybe it's just one thing. Raising your child well. Standing for truth and not going the way of the lemming. Speaking out when you know something is not true, even though it's reported as truth. And fight. I think of the analogous mama bear. When you mess with her cubs, I would not tangle with a mama bear. You know, basically any other animal in the world. I've done backpacking. I've seen bears. I've seen mama bears upset. I would not want to mess with a mama bear when you mess with her young. Where is the fight in human beings? Where are we willing to protect our young? Whether it's the sex education in California, whether it's all this transgender stuff, and with respect, the issue of abortion, we're killing babies. And yes, Christians are doing it too. I'm not saying I'm not holier than thou or and Christians have the moral high ground. A lot of people that say they're Christian, Bible even says on judgment day, God's going to say, leave me, I never knew you. But what's worth fighting for? If you love something, you'll fight for it. 800-222-5222, 800-222-KABC. We'll get to the red pill and the blue pill next here on the Frank Sontag Show, Talk Radio 790 KABC. Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show, Talk Radio 790 KABC. On the break, we had a little discussion amongst ourselves about the issue of, well, biological men identifying as women and competing in women's athletics. Point was made, it's very interesting. When was the last time you heard of a woman that has chosen to identify as a man, a biological woman, participating in male athletics? Doesn't seem to work that way, does it? So it just kind of makes you wonder. And we need to grieve a bit on this one, but I don't want to be redundant here. I think we need to say enough is enough and protect our daughters, if you will, especially in athletics. All right, 800-222-KABC. We have a couple of lines open. The red pill or the blue pill, which obviously is a reference to The Matrix. And so I saw this on Facebook and thought I would present it to you because I think it's interesting. It's potentially a very interesting opportunity for you to call in and share. 800-222-KABC. So the analogy used is the red pill. If you took it, you would be able to restart your life at 6 years of age with all of the knowledge you have now. So in some ways, it would probably be more appealing to older people that have a lot of life experience. Go back, start at six with all the wisdom that you have. Sounds like it's a no-brainer to take the red pill. We'll come back on that one. The blue pill, simply $10 million in cash. That's it. So would you take the red pill or the blue pill? 800-222-5222, 800-222-KABC. Now, I impulsively, without thinking it through, I'd say I'd take the red pill. To go back and be 6 years old again with all the, hopefully, some of the wisdom that I've gained in my life. You know, wow. For a lot of reasons. And then the point was made off the air because we have these discussions amongst ourselves. Point was very good point. There's no guarantee you're going to live one more day. So it was said, you know, give me the money. So I get that. But I like thought-provoking conundrums. And this is one, blue pill or red pill. Red pill, 6 years old, you have all the wisdom of life experience you have now. Or just take the blue pill, $10 million in cash. 800-222-KABC. We have a couple of open lines if you'd like to share. Love to hear from you. There are two stories, if you're all into global warming, there are two separate stories about Antarctica. The first one is from, of all entities, NASA. There is a new NASA study that says that there is an increase in the snow accumulation in Antarctica that actually has been consistent and has been gaining over the last, wait for it, 10,000 years. It is currently adding enough ice to the continent to outweigh some of the losses from its thinning glaciers, which you hear a lot about. Research challenges the conclusions of other studies, including the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change's 2013 report, which says the Antarctica area region is overall losing land ice. The extra snowfall that began, again, 10,000 years ago, has been slowly accumulating on the ice sheet and compacting into solid ice over millennia, thickening the ice in East Antarctica and the interior of West Antarctica. The small thickening sustained over thousands of years, spread over the vast expanse of the sectors of Antarctica, corresponds to a very large gain of ice, enough to outweigh, again, the losses from fast-flowing glaciers in other parts of the continent. So that's one view from NASA. Where are the polar bears? That's another one. The poor polar bears. I've got to get this woman on the program. She's a scientist. She wrote a book on this issue. You know there are more polar bears right now than basically any other time in recorded history? They're everywhere. Where are the poor polar bears? All the ice is going. This is not factually based. So here's another study about Antarctica. Scientists are scrambling to explain why the continent of Antarctica has shown net zero warming for the last seven decades. The lack of warming over a significant portion of the Earth undermines the unproven hypothesis that the carbon dioxide humans add to the atmosphere is the main determinant of global climate. Under quote-unquote settled science requirements, the significant debate over the inconvenient Antarctica data is of necessity being conducted well away from prying eyes in the mainstream media. Promoting the net zero political agenda, The Guardian recently topped up readers' alarm levels with the notion that, quote, unimaginable amounts of water will flow into the oceans, end quote, if temperatures in the region rise and ice buffers vanish. The BBC Green activist in chief, Justin Rowlett, flew over parts of the region and witnessed, quote, an epic vision of shattered ice, end quote. He described Antarctica as the front line of climate change. In 2021, the South Pole had its coldest 6 months winter since records began in 1957. In fact, largely ignored in the mainstream. By the way, they've got us pretty much conditioned. Coldest 6 months in the winter? Global warming. Warmest? Global warming. Nothing's happening. Global warming. I mean, that's all they're screaming, and we're buying it like fish on a line. Coldest 6 months since 1957. Ignored. Mainstream. One-off bad weather promoter Reuters subsequently, quote, fact-checked commentary on the event in social media. You know what they said about, again, coldest 6 months winter since records began? They say, quote, a six-month period is not long enough to validate a climate trend. Right? They always have answers. No, not the case. By the way, finally, a recent paper from two climate scientists, a couple of guys named Singh and Pulvani, they accept that Antarctica has not warmed in the last 70 years, despite an increase in the atmosphere of greenhouse gases. They say, yeah, there are more greenhouse gases in the atmosphere, but temperatures haven't gone up. It is noted that two polar regions present, hey, there's one of my favorite words, a conundrum for understanding present-day climate change as recent warming differs markedly between the Arctic and Antarctica. So there you have it. Global warming, climate change, the end is near. Sky is falling. What a bunch of nonsense. 800-222-5222. All right, we have some lines open. We'll take some calls in our last segment. Who is funding the gas ban, you know, at home? Speaking of climate, this idea that you can't burn from a gas stove or you're going to be fined tremendously. And again, you hear this stuff. These are some of the same people that fly Gulfstream jets that burn 500 gallons of jet fuel an hour, sail on their hundreds of million dollar yachts. These are the same people that say, oh, no, you peasant, you peon, you're not allowed to keep yourself warm or you will be punished. Stop watering your lawn as we let 82 trillion gallons of water just wash out to sea. Can you not see this as a control trip? This is a power trip? That's what this is. They enact policies for ye, but not for me. 800-222-KABC. Our final segment is upon us. And it is next on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Talk Radio 790 KABC. We need a third hour. The board is filling up. We've got one line open, 800-222-5222. I made mention of polar bears at the polls. Now, I don't know if this is the same woman. There is a scientist and a zoologist named Susan Crockford. She was actually fired from her tenure, I think, at the University of Victoria. This may have been the woman I heard on Dennis Prager's show not that long ago. She wrote a book that found out that polar bears are actually thriving. She wanted to find out for sure. Here's a quick story. Nobody has done more to sink the claim that climate change is endangering polar bears than zoologist Susan Crockford. And she may have paid for it with her job. After 15 years as an adjunct assistant professor, Ms. Crockford said the University of Victoria rejected without explanation her renewal application, despite her high profile as a speaker and author stemming from her widely cited research on polar bears. Crockford accused officials at the Canadian University of bowing to, quote, outside pressure, the result of her research showing that polar bear populations are not only stable, they're even thriving. Not plummeting as a result of shrinking Arctic sea ice, defying the claims of the climate change movement. And there's more to it. We've all heard that. Poor polar bears. Or you may have seen a video of a polar bear out there flopping around in a little patch of ice. The poor polar bear has nowhere to go. Well, according to scientist and zoologist Suze Crawford, and there's others, guess what? We just may be being lied to. All right, let me quickly say this, and we'll take a few calls to end. The billionaires behind the gas ban, they're funding anti-hydrocarbon campaigns. There is something called the Climate Imperative Foundation, newest and richest anti-hydrocarbon, anti-natural gas group you've never heard of. Hundreds of millions of dollars. Steve Jobs' widow is one of two primary donors, Loreen Powell. She owns a $66 million Gulfstream that burns 500 gallons of jet fuel per hour. She has a $120 million yacht. She's funding activists to make sure you can't own a gas stove. Her and one other person, I want to be accurate here. The other person is, let me find the name, and his name is John Doerr, or Doerr, D-O-E-R-R. Between him and Loreen Powell Jobs, they have given hundreds of millions of dollars, again, to the Climate Imperative Fund and Foundation to say that we should not even be burning gas stoves, even though it's cost effective, and there's study after study that says it actually doesn't do, similar to the polar bear scam, it doesn't do what they're saying. It's actually safer. Electric stoves are much more damaging to the environment. They use more energy. Oh, I can go on and on. All right. Who shall we take here in the few moments we have? Oh, boy, do I want to take that? Why not? Eric in North Hollywood. You're on the Frank Sontag Show. Hello, Eric.
Hi. I had a feeling you would react that way. That's okay. I'm totally with you on the climate change hoax. I mean, the global warming hoax. And it definitely fits right in with the spirit of lawlessness, mystery of iniquity, warned in the Bible. I believe that. I want to add that what you said about the Arctic versus Antarctica fits right in with the probability that our Lord created a flat earth. And I'm very, very vocal about that, that I believe that. I can't prove it, but I definitely believe it. And we could have a discussion on that some night. I know you're not don't have much time right now.
So what is that view, perception, thought based on? And why are you throwing the Lord into this? I mean, why do you believe the earth is flat?
While we're round and flat, we're definitely not square. The Bible does say, refer to us as a circle, but it also refers to us as that the Lord put us in the heavens stationary. I do not believe that we're a spinning ball.
Okay, and so these are just belief system that you've formulated after spending a lot of time pondering, thinking. Go ahead.
Done a lot of reading, and there are books out on the subject, including some by Christians.
Self-identified Christians. I'm really sensitive when somebody says they're a Christian. That doesn't mean anything to me, but go ahead.
Me too. But the Arctic has periods of warm seasons,
yep,
because there's no North Pole, but Antarctica is not even a continent. It's a boundary of ice that keeps us on this plane.
Okay, so let me ask the obvious, and I'm not saying I'm asking a question that immediately comes to my mind, and I'm sure a lot of people listening right now. So when you see shots from like the shuttle or the space station going around the Earth, what is that, like phony stuff? What are they shooting there? Which looks like a round Earth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. Boy, they sure doctor it up, don't they?
Okay, well, that's all I wanted to know. Thank you for the call.
Okay.
And call it another time when we have more time. I look, I don't want to make fun of you. I'm sure you believe it. I didn't want to ask you if the moon landing really happened, because there are some that think that was done on a soundstage too. Okay. Let's talk to Robert in Santa Clarita real quick. We've got about a minute and a half, Robert. It's all yours. You're on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Robert is on line 3.
Good evening, Frank. Thank you very much for letting me participate in your call in your show tonight.
Absolutely.
I wanted to comment a little bit about the environmental religion that's going on, and in particular the electric vehicles. Just some interesting information is that batteries are notoriously inefficient, and typically an electric vehicle, a battery will weigh about 1,000 pounds. You can get that same amount of energy out of 80 pounds of fuel. And in addition to that, if you were to take a look at just the energy storage currently right now in Europe, which is very low, it would take 400 years for our battery manufacturers to create that many batteries at a cost of $100 trillion. So I think our politicians know it's just not possible. It can never happen. We need both going forward.
I would agree. I think there is room for both. So in your estimation, what is the big push about with EV vehicles, with the droning on that somehow this has to do with saving people and the planet?
I think it really boils down to reducing our standard of living to a point where we become more dependent on government agencies and fall in line. I mean, I don't have another explanation for it.
Well, I appreciate the call. Let's pick up where we left off, maybe when you can call in again. Thank you, Robert. I will say this. Of the many sources that I tend to actually share on the program, what Robert said is pretty accurate. In fact, there is a push now. I don't know the exact year, but they're talking about all the vehicles will have kill switches in them, or a third entity will monitor your ability to drive. Heck, the World Economic Forum says there should be no private home ownership anymore. So this is clearly about control in a lot of ways. Let me share, in the minute I have left, a solution. We had a caller say there's no hope. In 3 weeks, my men's ministry is doing a free event here in Los Angeles. It is for men only. It's from 9 to 3 locally. You can go to franksontag.com. You do need to register, but it is free. We don't want anything from you. And it's about the plight of manhood and warriorship and what do we do as we move forward. We've got some incredible speakers. My buddy Daryl Strawberry will be there. In fact, I think Daryl may be on the program next Friday night talking about masculinity, manhood. It's free and open to any man. I pray that you go to franksontag.com and register right now. If you missed any of this program, go to franksontag.com. All podcasts are up there. Have a great night. God bless you. Talk Radio 790 KABC.